The reading for the Feast of the Confession of St. Peter is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. O Lord, have mercy on us." Repeat after me. You are the Christ.
You are the Christ.
There. You've just confessed the Apostles' Creed. No, not the one in the back of the book. But it's Peter the Apostles' Creed. You are the Christ in its simplest, shortest, briefest form. In four little words, Peter's creed is not just his, but yours and mine as well. Those four words confess the one in whom we believe. You are the Christ. There's so much in that. The Christ. You are the King who was promised, the Messiah, the one that all Israel hoped for, the one who was to make things right. You are the promised King, Peter confesses. You are Israel's great hope. You are the hope of the whole world. You are the one whose rule, whose reign, whose kingdom is nothing less than the very kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven itself. Peter's little creed is just right. They are just the right words. Beautiful, right words. You might recall that when Matthew tells the same story, he adds the fact that Jesus blessed Peter for those words and said, "They're not yours. Father in heaven gave you these words." So they're our words. They are. Not just an apostles' creed, but mine and yours as well. They're the right words. And right words are an important thing. We know that, we Christians, better than anyone else. In a world crammed full of wrong words, angry words, nasty words, spiteful words, vicious words, we know the value of right words. We know that God abhors wrong words. Words that misuse his name or bear false witness, for instance. And he loves right words, for they are his great tool. With just the right words, he called the very universe into existence. With the right words, he told us who he is, what he would do. He told us what is right, what is wrong. With the right words, he crushes the proud and arrogant and lifts up lowly, repentant sinners. With just the right words, he names himself for all the world to know him in his truth. With right words, good words, his words, water cleanses us. wine and bread become his very blood and body. That's the power of right words. It's why he gave us a whole book of right words to value and treasure, to read, to absorb, to mark, learn, and inwardly digest. That's why he puts right words on our lips in prayer and confession. How did we just begin a couple of minutes ago? With those right, absolutely right words to begin prayer. Oh Lord, open my lips. Because if I open my trap by myself, who knows what will come out? Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. If he opens my lips, it will be right. The words will be right words, yes. And so he opens Peter's mouth to say, you are the Christ. Or Thomas's mouth, my Lord and my God. Or your mouth, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Or in just a couple of moments, our Father who art in heaven. What a treasure are God's right words. What a gift. Thanks be to God for them. We need them to fill our mouths. But right words are not just for mouths and for lips. They're not only for speaking. Right words are not for babblers. They are the way toward right minds. Jesus heard Peter speak these right words and then told him to be quiet so that he might be taught. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. Right words are needed for right minds. It's the only way. Only way to have a right mind is through the right words. Peter has the words right, but the mind is not there yet. No. Peter thinks he knows all about the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus should be Peter's kind of Messiah. His mind is not right. The right words haven't struck home yet. Peter's words are right. His mind is wrong. So wrong that he takes the king that he has just confessed aside and upbraids him, chastises him, shushes him. But the king won't have it. Get behind me, Satan. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. We too must be warned. We know right words, precious, dear right words. But the right words are a call always to right minds. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered, say the Proverbs. And Paul, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right words are there so that we might have right minds. That is the Spirit's work. It's why we plead again and again that the Holy Spirit would continue his work in us. It is why Scripture tells us, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is the right mind. And even then, Jesus hasn't finished. Right words are for right minds, and it is all for a right life. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. The right words will never cease to shock us. They tell us of the mighty God, creator of heaven and earth, and then speak of him in the frailty of human flesh. They promise the crushing defeat of Satan and then provided in the suffering and death of the Savior. They declare that our lives are saved in Christ and then say, we are to lose our lives for his sake. They don't sound right to the natural mind. No, my mind will rebel. It is why I need the right words always to call me to the mind of Christ. Always to call me to that mind that only the Spirit works in us by faith. And again, the right words and the right mind will call us to a life that startles and shocks every ounce of our sinful being. It ought to be glorious to be a Christian. And it is, but it will be the glory that is shaped in suffering. It just doesn't sound right to our sinful mind, but it is. It's the right words, the right mind, the right life. It would take a lifetime of right words for Peter. Again and again, his mind went wrong. Again and again, the right words called him back to the Lord and renewed his mind, setting it right as the mind which is in Christ Jesus. Again and again, God did his merciful saving work by the word, the right words, changing and renewing Peter in mind and life. And in the end, you remember, Peter did take up his cross. What God did for Peter, he will do for us. We ask him as much so often after receiving the sacrament in just these right words. You have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Those are right words, calling us to the right mind, urging us again into the right life, that we too might take up our cross and follow. It's only right. In Jesus' name, amen.